Is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your gracious host. My name is Tom Velasquez, bringing you the news you need regarding politics and current events, and the news you want regarding paranormal and the supernatural. And this show is going to be no different. Last week, I mentioned that I wanted to do an expose on the inflation, the rising prices, and what that means for you and me, not just in the pocketbook, but what that means for our family in everyday life, and I'm going to do that. But there are some news things that I need to talk about, some paranormal, supernatural, and of course, current events. Because this week, it was crazy. If you're a resident of North or South Carolina, my heart goes out to you. You have gone through hell with this gas shortage. Now, this, again, quote-unquote hack that happened on the Colonial Pipeline. And this pipeline runs from Texas all the way to North Carolina. To me, it's a little suspicious. Let's be honest. And again, I have a lot of Democrat listeners, and they seem to be growing in number, which surprises me. But regardless, as a Democrat, I know you're all in on Joe Biden. But you have to look at things with open eyes. Let's look at what we went through during the past 4 years prior to Joe Biden. Gas prices were extremely low. The economy was rocking and rolling. Gas was in the dollar range nationwide. It was a national average, maybe $1.50, $1.70. We didn't have to deal with any of this. And now Joe Biden gets in. And in 100 days, we have chaos in the streets. Now, I know my Democrat friends are going to say, well, look at all the protests and look at all the unrest we had. Look at all the cops killing black people. That was under Trump. Okay, again, open your eyes because you have to be honest with yourself. The BLM Antifa movement, it was paid for and endorsed by the Democrat Party and their backers. We know George Soros was paying people to go and riot. It's a non-starter. It happened. End of story. The Democrat Party essentially endorsed and gave their blessing to the unrest in this country because they never, ever condoned it. They never spoke out about it. Every single Democrat congressperson, House or representative, every single one of them would say, well, it's their right to protest. And it is their right to protest. But as I've said numerous times, you can protest. You can't riot, loot, burn, kill, or steal. Just doesn't happen. That's not how it works. You can protest peacefully. You can't block roads. You can't burn buildings down. You can't kill people and say it's their right. So the Democrat Party essentially, without saying a word, endorsed the rioting, the unrest during Donald Trump's presidency. But look at our country now. We have inflation through the roof already. I knew prices were going to go up. I knew it. However, I'll be honest, I never expected it to happen this quick. The only thing this administration is good at is destroying this country. It's destroying the middle class. Because if you are wealthy, yeah, you're going to feel it, but you're going to get by. If you're in the poverty or lower class level, well, you got the government to take care of you. We here in the middle class, we're screwed. We don't have that luxury of the government paying for us. And we don't have enough disposable income to absorb the cost of goods and how fast they're rising. We can't account or we can't adjust for that. Gas has just skyrocketed. And I understand why it has. And again, I'm going to say, quote unquote, hack of the Colonial Pipeline all episode long, because to me, it's too perfect. I do not believe a group of apolitical Russian hackers hacked into that pipeline and shut it down for ransom. First off, you're telling me all the great minds in Washington and the military cannot beat this hack? I'm a little skeptical on that. It's too perfect. I think it was a black swan event, a false flag event, and I believe it was perpetuated by our government to further divide us, to further us into the oblivion, into the hellhole that America has become. But that we're going to talk about more in detail on the last segment of the show. The first part of the show, I want to go over some current events that need to be discussed. And the first current event, I think I've talked about this in the past, but it's building momentum and it looks like it's going to happen. This brief article comes from End Times Headlines. And it says, scientists want to spread dust in the upper atmosphere to see if it will stop climate change. The idea is to dump calcium carbonate, which is basically chalk dust, into the stratosphere to block some of the sun's rays with the hope of halting the climate from warming. This project is called the Stratospheric Aerosol Injection, or SAI. Now, first off, you have to believe that climate change is real to do this, right? Or is there some other nefarious reason? And they're doing it under the guise of climate change. But let's look at this. They want to dump calcium carbonate, chalk dust, into our atmosphere. Now, we've all learned from very, very young age, what comes up? Yeah, it must come down. So you start dumping, spraying calcium carbonate into the stratosphere, it is eventually going to make its way down to the surface of the planet. Did anybody, when they were a kid, remember going out in the back of the school or wherever you went and just clapping the chalk erasers together and getting that awful smell, and you come in and your face is all white and you got white in your nose from all the chalk dust? That's essentially what these idiots plan on doing. So they're going to dump this. And I've had a lot of people contact me, as a matter of fact, I know I talked about this before, because I had people contact me and say, well, by the time it reaches the atmosphere, it's so diluted, it's not even going to be a big deal. I hope you believe that, because it's not true. It may not be as potent, but you do it enough, you're breathing chalk dust into your lungs. How good can that be for you? You are designed to breathe clean, fresh oxygen. Chalk dust will get into your lungs, and when it gets into your lungs and gets wet, it will turn into a mud, kind of a cement-type substance. You want to have people have asthma, emphysema, lung-related issues, go ahead and do this plan. But this is the most ridiculous plan I have ever heard of. And again, this has not been voted on by anybody or any citizen. This is all the we know what's best for you politicians across this country and scientists. I mean, if you're a scientist and you think this is a good idea, get rid of your degree. Because I'm not a scientist. And I know that breathing in, no matter how infinite, finite the particles are of calcium carbonate, I know it's not going to be good for me. Here we are wearing masks everywhere due to a coronavirus. And now the CDC has granted us the glory in you may remove your masks if you're vaccinated, only if you're vaccinated. But we're going to spray calcium carbonate into the atmosphere. So what's the difference now? You know, you're either going to get COVID or you're going to die from carbonate lung or stratosphere lung. Who knows? Bill Gates is a huge proponent of this. Now, first off, Bill Gates, if you haven't heard, is getting a divorce. It happens. What you may not know is that his wife was going to divorce him years ago due to his friendship and affiliation with none other than Jeffrey Epstein. Bill Gates has gone on record saying, I don't know him, although he's been in numerous pictures, and now his soon-to-be ex-wife is saying, yes, this man is a womanizer. He was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. He flew on the Lolita Express and went to his island numerous times. Guess what happened on that island? I don't even want to think about it. But the fact is, Bill Gates is behind this. And everybody's all for it. Bill Gates is behind it. That's got to be a good thing, right? When did Bill Gates become a scientist? When did he become a doctor? Because right now, Bill Gates is almost as popular as Dr. Fauci in his opinions on this COVID thing and what we need to do. Now, we're going to listen to this idiot tell us, yep, we need to spray chemicals and calcium carbonate in the upper atmosphere to block the sun's rays to stop global warming. Newsflash. It's not going to stop global warming because global warming is cyclical. This is the same idiot that believes in the Georgia Guidestones where they said we have to eliminate the human population to 500,000. That's sustainable. Boy, that's a lot of people that have to perish because Bill Gates, the science guy, Bill Nye, the science guy, ain't no thing anymore. Bill Gates, the science guy, and he's a doctor, expert on COVID. But he believes that we need to reduce the population of this planet. Wow, what a better way to do it than to fill the skies with chemicals that are not fit to be breathed in by humans, and then what isn't breathed in is just going to collect on the ground. As it collects on the ground, it's going to get soaked in. What do you think calcium carbonate is going to do to the plant life on this planet? It doesn't matter, though. They have that seed emporium, I believe it's in Sweden right now, where they can go and they can plant whatever they want. The rest of us, well, you're on your own because you're not rich like us. The Democrats, who are condoning the rich, saying, oh, if you're rich, you got to pay your fair share. You stole from the lower class. You're hearing that from rich people on the Democrats. Where did you get your money? Well, you sure as hell stole it from everybody else. When you live a middle-class life, I'll even give you a middle-class life, politicians, I'll start believing you. But for you who have been, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, to be spouting to me how I need to live my life and how the world should work, I live in the world. You live in this fantasy land. I don't even begin to know what that fantasy land is like. I live in the real world. So for you to tell me how the real world should be, it's an absolute joke. So for these scientists, and again, I say that scientists with quotations around their names, they want to destroy the planet, destroy the environment, because they think dumping calcium carbonate in the atmosphere is a good idea. Without regarding the fact that the magnetic pole, magnetic north, continues to shift. Again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a weatherman. I wanted to be when I was younger, but that's regardless. But I do a lot of research. I read a lot, and I know things. I know when the magnetic pole, which was at the North Pole, Santa's kind of wondering what the hell is going on right now, but it was at the North Pole. Now it's in Siberia, and it's moving every day. I know when that changes, when that shifts, your weather patterns shift. The jet streams, they are different. They are not in the same place. Have you ever noticed over the last couple years, the polar vortex has arrived? Yes, it is the same thing that when I was younger used to be called an Arctic Clipper. But Arctic Clipper is not ominous enough, so they decided to change it to polar vortex. But polar vortexes are becoming more and more prominent and more powerful. That is due to the fact that our weather patterns are changing, and that's due to the fact that the magnetic field is changing, plus the sunspot, the solar activity, has changed. Now, solar activity on the sun is growing. So what that means is there's going to be more sunspots and more solar storms. When those solar storms come out, they generate more heat. So we will get warmer. Now, what the global climate change, because you can't say global warming now because that doesn't fit the narrative, the climate change people won't tell you is over the last 10, 15 years, we've kind of cooled down. And for those of you that live in the upper portion of the United States and England and Russia, you know it has not been as warm as it was when we were a kid. During the summers when I was a kid, it was not uncommon to have 100-degree days. I cannot remember the last time we had a 100-degree day here in Michigan. It is a miracle if we have a 90-degree day. In those last 2-3 days, I remember as a kid playing baseball in the field, we would be playing baseball in the field for a week on end in 100-degree weather. It doesn't happen anymore. Things are changing with the climate. It's not going up, it's going down. You may be going up in certain areas, but that's because everything's changing. The polar ice caps. Why do you think the polar ice caps are quote-unquote melting? It's cyclical. It's getting warmer there. It's getting colder here. That's what happens on this planet. During the Ice Age, do you really think man was building coal plants and firing them up, therefore causing global warming? No. But somehow, the ice retreated, made the Great Lakes, made the rivers, and basically sculpted this planet the way it is now. It's cyclical. What caused the ice to retreat? Again, it's cyclical. I don't understand why every other planet in the solar system can have a cyclical event happen to it, except Earth. When it happens on Earth, we're responsible because we are so powerful. Listen, if we were destroying this planet, the planet would destroy us. The planet knows, hey, shit's going on here. I don't like earthquake, tornado, tsunami, you're gone, everything's good. We are not as powerful as we think we are. We are a speck. We're a little cockroach to this planet. And when it wants to kill us off, it will. When we do something stupid like launch multiple nuclear warheads to each country and they explode and it's a nuclear wasteland, most of it is going to be caused by ourselves, but the planet is going to say, you need to go. And for my next act, I'm going to bring about a race of super intelligent kangaroos. And then kangaroos are going to rule this planet for thousands of years. And then they're going to screw up. And the planet's going to say, you're gone. And then there's going to be a race of super chinchillas. It's a never-ending cycle. The dinosaurs couldn't cut it. And poof, they're gone. We're next. It's inevitable. Unless that is we are able to colonize other planets. And then we destroy that planet. And just keep moving on to different planets that we destroy. It's the cycle. It's who we are as a race. It's who we are as a species. We create, we destroy. We tend to destroy more than we create, and that's why we're in the situation we are. But make no mistake, this planet is controlling its own climate. It is not us that are doing it. We are not making the magnetic North Pole move. Magnetic North, the magnetic pole, is not moving because of humans. It is moving because that's what happens on this planet. It's what happens on every other planet. It happens all the time on other planets, and it's normal. But when it happens on Earth, mankind caused it. Because mankind's so bad. I mean, really, we're not that bad. We have a few bad apples, but we're not that bad. Most of us are good. Well, we're good members of the species. And we've got a few bad apples, mostly politicians, that are destroying it for the rest of us. So, before I take up even more time that I don't have, I want to move on to the next subject. Now, back right when I got out of the hospital, the great listener, my great friend, Brandon, I used to work with him. He's a great listener. He's been listening for years. He sent me a link. And first off, he wanted to make sure I was okay. And yep, I did. Contacted him and said, hey, yep, it'll be a while, but I'll be okay. And then he sent me a link. And the link he sent me had to do with the Ohio Howl. Now, what the Ohio Howl is the howl, it almost takes on a siren-like sound. Now, similar howls have been heard in Kentucky and throughout the Ohio River Valley. They've been heard in Georgia. They've been heard in the woods of Florida and along the Pacific Northwest. Now, the Ohio Howl is, for people that have heard it, they attribute it to a Bigfoot-like creature. Now, the first audio of the Ohio Howl was captured in 1994.
And what I want to do, I want to play for you that audio. Now, you're going to hear a dog barking in the background. Actually, it's in the foreground, and you're going to hear the howl in the background. But listen to what this sounds like. And if anybody who lives in the woods or lives out in the country has ever heard of this, let me know, because I don't know what this is. This is 1994, the first known instance of the Ohio Howl. Now, you can hear, again, it sounds like a siren wailing in the background. But the thing that caught my attention was the dog. Now, what was the dog barking at? Now, without any video on this, we don't know if the dog was playing, if somebody was playing with the dog, but it doesn't sound like it, because it sounds like somebody's there recording this sound. So was the dog reacting to that sound? The odds are we'll never know. But there is something, for the lack of a better term, wailing in the background. Something that I've never heard. Now, granted, I don't live in the woods. I don't live in the country. I've never heard of that. But for those of you who live in the country, live in the woods, and are surrounded by these sounds every day, let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net, or contact me on the Paranormal Patriot Hotline and tell my listeners what you think that noise is. Contact me at 989-607-4722. Again, 989-607-4722. Now, there's also other sounds. Now, this sound also comes from Southeast Ohio, and it comes from a rural area 40 miles from Cincinnati. Now, this sound you can describe as more of an undulating sound. Listen to this. Now, when I first heard that sound, I thought, well, that's either a coyote, a wolf, or even a family dog. But near the end, you hear the undulation of the sound. And that totally excludes those three options. The only option I have left that is a normal option, something that can be readily identified, would be somebody with a moose call or a elk call or a deer call undulating that sound. So again, if you've heard this, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722 and leave a message. Tell our listeners what you think it is, because I've never heard of these things, but that doesn't mean a lot, because I don't live in the country. I don't live in the woods. I don't hear wildlife like you guys do. So let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722. Now, to end the segment, I want to go over the CDC. The CDC came out this week that people that are fully vaccinated do not have to wear masks any longer outdoors. I am getting absolutely infuriated by this. You are totally excluding the people that have had COVID. We have the antibodies. We have the resistance. We essentially have nature's vaccine. They are pushing this vaccine on people that have already had COVID, that have already got through it, and that already have the antibodies. And essentially, like I say, nature's vaccine. I got a letter from from my kid's school today, which is Friday that I recorded this. Starting Monday, May 17th, those of our students and teachers and faculty that are fully vaccinated will no longer be required to wear a mask. Unfortunately, those of you who have not received your vaccination will still be required to wear a mask. I am infuriated by that. You are now, again, and this is all part of the division process of our government. Before, it was political. Then it was black and white. Then it was mask or no mask. Now, it is vaccine, non-vaccine. And here is my biggest issue. Well, two issues. First off, for those of us who have had COVID, my whole family has had COVID, verified, they had it, they beat it, they have the antibodies. They should not have to wear a mask. But secondly, here's my biggest issue, and you can just conglomerate this into the whole vaccine argument. If you've been vaccinated against coronavirus, why are you afraid of sitting next to one that hasn't been vaccinated? You've been vaccinated. If the vaccine works that well, you should have no worries at all about catching coronavirus. If you still have worries and you're being told that you still need to worry that those that are unvaccinated need to wear masks, then the vaccine doesn't work. Why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you injecting this chemical that we have no idea what it's going to do to you in the long run? Why are you injecting yourself with that if you can still catch coronavirus from somebody that's not been vaccinated? It's just like polio. If you were vaccinated with polio, against polio, you weren't going to get it. You could stand next to somebody. Hell, I had a great uncle that had polio. And I used to hang out with him all the time. Did I worry about getting polio? No, because I was vaccinated. That's how vaccines are supposed to work. You get the vaccine for the virus or ailment that you are trying to avoid, and you don't get it. But somehow over the years, it has just been misconstrued and just twisted into this, well, if you aren't vaccinated, you're a risk to my child. Why? You're vaccinated against it. If my child has it, you took the vaccine, right? You took that vaccine to stop your child from getting measles, mumps, chickenpox, whatever. Why are you afraid? If the vaccine works, anybody could be around your child. And you don't have to worry about it. So now, on Monday morning, I get to have the joy of calling my child's school district and telling them my boys have had coronavirus. They have acknowledgement through tests that they have had coronavirus. Therefore, they have the antibodies for coronavirus. Therefore, since the mask mandate has been lifted, my children will not be wearing masks. And I anticipate a huge blow up because, well, that's not what Governor Whitmer says or the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services said. Be damned to them. Those of us who have had coronavirus and lived through it have just the same amount of resistance and probably even more so. Listen, there's a reason the human race has excelled and thrived for this many years. And you know why? We have a great immune system. We may get sick. Some of us may die. But the majority of us are going to survive. And when we do, we get stronger because our immune system gets stronger. But there are some that think the government is all-knowing and they're just, nope, drinking the Kool-Aid. I need my vaccine. I need my vaccine. And I want you to know I'm not putting down anybody that has received the vaccine. That is your choice. You have every right. You have that freedom. But do not look down on those of us who do not get the vaccine. And that's what's happening. You are seeing all across the, hell, all across the world, you can't go anywhere now without a vaccine card. My kids have to show a vaccine card at school to get the privilege of not wearing a mask. Bullshit. They will be not wearing a mask at school for the last couple weeks of the school year. It ain't going to happen. And this all goes, I mean, it's like a full circle to Sean Ryan. This is what I'm talking about. There is no reason to be wearing a mask, especially outdoors. You cannot get coronavirus outdoors. It ain't going to happen unless you are literally like that guy from the Seinfeld episode that was the close talker. Other than that, normal people, ain't going to happen. But yet, we're going to believe. We will believe the government in what they say. Dr. Fauci, I can't tell you how many times that guy's flip-flopping everything he's said. But yet, we believe him. It's because nobody knows. I'm going to tell you right now, just live your life. If you want to wear a mask, by God, wear a mask. But do not infringe on my rights by not wearing a mask. That is my choice. Your health is not my concern. My health is my concern. If I choose to quote-unquote gamble by not wearing a mask, so be it. I gambled. I went through some tough times. I persevered. And you know what? I've got so many antibodies raging through me. Hell, I got 6 bags of antibodies from people I have no idea who they are. But you know what? They're there. And they all do the same thing. They stop the coronavirus. That is the whole point. That is that antibody's sole purpose in life. If I see the coronavirus, gone. Done. I'm taking it out. That is how the human race has excelled and how it survived all of these years by our immune system. Do we need a little help every now and then? Yes. In this case, no. This is a variation of the cold and flu virus that our body is very well equipped to handle. Some of us may suffer. Hi, raising my hand. Some of us may die. Some of us may not even know we have it. But we had it. When is it going to end? What is the end game? In the government's eyes, and I'm telling you right now, we are going to need to be vaccinated to do anything. They are talking in sports arenas and sports stadiums now that they are going to have vaccinated sections of stands. I mean, this is segregation all over again. The government is looking at those of us who choose not to vaccinate as lower class citizens, as dissidents. How can you dare not get vaccinated against coronavirus? Because I don't trust it. Give me years and years. Let me see multiple years of tests. Hell, this is a test right now. I saw a meme on Facebook. It was great. It had 2 lab rats talking. And one of the lab rats said, "Hey, have you got the coronavirus vaccine yet?" The other one said, "Nope, they're not done testing on humans." And that's exactly how it is. We are guinea pigs. We are the lab rats right now. I'm not a lab rat. I had coronavirus. I beat it. I feel safe that I may get it again. But you know what? For those of you who are vaccinated, it is coming more and more out in the open that you can still get it. How good of a vaccine is that? Where I had my vaccine, I had both my shots. Woohoo! Oh, I still got coronavirus. But it's not as bad as what you would have had it. How do you know? How do you know? It affects everybody differently. My 2 sons, a day, done. The 15-year-old that got it when I was in Florida didn't even know she had it until she took a bite of something. It's like, I can't taste this. My wife, the other ones, had chills, fever, body aches. Yep, I had that too. And then I had double pneumonia. Ended up in ICU for a week. It affects everyone different. My God. It's going to be an interesting Monday. So we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, inflation, skyrocketing prices, food shortages. What does that mean for you? Find out on the next segment of The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back. The dark secret to happiness. Scattered ashes slowly flow. I close my eyes.
The stuff of nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sunshine is kissing my face. You know what they say, you need to have darkness in order to see the light and love it.
All right, I wanted to put a happier song on before I just burst everybody's bubble. But what in the hell is happening in this country? It's been a little over 100 days since Joe Biden took over. And we are a shell of what we once were. Our border is out of control. The administration refuses to call it a crisis. The administration, in their words, they were surprised about the inflation that we are dealing with. How could you be surprised? You're raising taxes. You're putting out spending bills in the trillions of dollars trying to get this new Green Deal through. What did you think was going to happen? But yet, they're surprised. Now, to be honest with you, what I'm surprised about is Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. How do they not realize that their dad is the scapegoat for the Democrat Party? Joe Biden, let's be honest, Joe Biden has no clue, for the most part, what he's doing on a daily basis. He is following the rhetoric, and he's just following a script from the Democratic Party on what to say and what to do. They're running the show. And he is going to take the fall. For those of you old enough to remember the Jimmy Carter administration, what Joe Biden or the Democrats are doing right now is making the Jimmy Carter presidency look like a Ronald Reagan presidency. Joe Biden is essentially bankrupting this country. Inflation already, it hasn't been 4 months. In inflation, we've got 4 years of this. We have got 4 years of this beat. Who knows how many years? We'll say four. Hopefully we can get this thing under control. But we've got 4 years of a Biden presidency where he's just going to do the bidding of the squad, essentially. Joe Biden is pushing the new Green Deal so hard. And you can see it. Let's look at the Colonial Pipeline incident. And again, like I mentioned in the first part of the show, if you believe this was taken, or this pipeline was taken down and hacked by a group of apolitical, in every news story saying, well, they're apolitical. They're apolitical. They don't have a political affiliation. If you believe that a group of apolitical Russians took down a pipeline running from Texas to North Carolina, and our government and our military couldn't override that, I have got swampland to sell you in Florida. It's not possible. This is a false flag incident. And what it's doing is it's trying to show Americans, oh, look it, you can't rely on gas because what happens when the pipelines stop flowing? No gas for you, North Carolina. And what was the Biden administration's response during this whole crisis? Crickets. They didn't really respond, just like they aren't responding to the border crisis. Joe Biden made Kamala Harris the border czar. She hasn't been down there yet. She just cackles when somebody says something about it.
We're going to get this done, aren't we?
But recently, the energy director, the energy czar, whatever the hell they call him nowadays, and it's unfortunate that I know who this person is very well. It's the former governor of Michigan, Jennifer Granholm, who destroyed the state of Michigan, literally destroyed it through basically told the businesses in the state, get the hell out of here. We're going to tax you to oblivion. You got to get out. And they did. And it took Rick Schneider, who I'm not a big fan of. Trust me, I'm not a big fan of Rick Schneider, but he brought the businesses back. She is now in charge of the energy department. And when people were running out of gas and couldn't get gas in North Carolina, rather than being empathetic to these people. Now, she was asked at a recent press conference, and I'm going to subphrase this. You'll hear the actual question in the audio, but the reporter asked, what does this mean for renewable energy? Now, listen to the question and listen to this pompous, arrogant piece of shit's response, because this is nothing but pushing the New Green Deal. And I will have a response to our illustrious governor, former governor, Granholm's response after the audio. Listen to this.
Acute issues with the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack, but looking more holistically in a macro view, how does this speed up the efforts at DOE to move in more of a renewable direction, since this is going to have an impact on people at the pump?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goals of getting to 100% clean electricity by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And, you know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you, clearly. But it's just,
shut up, dumbass. If you had an electric car, this wouldn't be affecting you, clearly. Tell me, this is not a commercial for the New Green Deal. So, Director of Energy, whatever the hell your title is, Granholm, let me ask you this. Why don't you go to Texas when they had the huge ice storm and nobody had power? People were dying. Why don't you tell them, hey, if you have an electric car, you wouldn't be having this problem? Because you couldn't charge your damn car in Texas back in, when was it, January, February? You couldn't charge it because there was no power. But you know what you could do? You could get in your car, you could turn it on, you could drive around and turn the heat on and get warm, and you know what else you could do? You could get gas because the pipelines were open. You cannot tell me that this wasn't a deliberate act by our government to try and teach the people of this country that you need electric because pipelines, they're not reliable. They can be hacked or they can be shut down by a governor, a.k.a. Governor Whitmer. Our governor has demanded Line 5 be shut down. Line 5, now I want you who don't live in Michigan to know what's going on. Line 5 is an energy pipeline that goes through essentially the Straits of Mackinac. And the Straits of Mackinac are where Lake Michigan and Lake Huron meet, right at the top of the lower peninsula, the mitten. So take your left hand, put it out. You see the thumb? Go up to the top of your index finger. That's where the Mackinac Bridge is. Underneath that Mackinac Bridge is Line 5. Line 5 is an energy pipeline. They over-engineered that pipeline. That pipeline is not leaking. It never has leaked. It has been struck by anchors and not leaked. But Governor Whitmer, for some unbeknownst reason to the rest of the population in this state, has decided that it is a danger to have Line 5 in the Straits of Mackinac. So she has ordered its shutdown. And if they continue, and they have, Enbridge, who is based out of Canada, they are providing energy. And this runs from Minnesota to Wisconsin, Michigan, and all along up to Pennsylvania. All those states are supplied by Line 5, Enbridge Line 5. Why does Governor Whitmer think she has the all-encompassing power to shut that down for other states? And then tell the company for every day after I shut this down that it's operational, I'm taking your profits. Where does that sound familiar? Communist Russia, communist Cuba, Venezuela. We are turning into Venezuela before our very eyes. And it's scary how many people are just like, bring it on, I love this. Until you have to eat your family dog for dinner. And then they're like, I don't like this. Well, you voted for it and you supported it. The audacity of this energy director to tell us, well, if you had an electric car, you wouldn't be in this situation. Well, if we had an electric car, we'd only be driving 40 freaking miles at a time because that's all we have on a battery.
Give me an electric car that can go 300-400 miles per charge and recharge in 5 minutes like it does at a gas station with fossil fuels, and I may think about an electric vehicle. Until then, it ain't gonna happen. If I drive to Florida, I drive 300 miles. Guess who's stopping for 8 hours to charge his freaking vehicle? And then I drive another 300 miles. And then I got to stop for another 8 hours. Hell, it'll take me a week to get to freaking Florida. But you know what? Your carbon footprint's not as large. Until you realize that that lithium-ion battery just decimated a whole valley trying to get the lithium out of the ground. Oh, and the power that it is taking to charge my vehicle, that's all from fossil fuels. Think, people. But now let's move on. I've gone over my thoughts on the Colonial Pipeline. I've given you my thoughts. You've listened to the energy director scold you for driving a fossil fuel-powered vehicle. But a synopsis is this. It's a false flag. The Russians didn't do this. It was our government that did this. Let's move on to the inflation that is just, it's impacting everybody already. 130 days, 4 months into the administration, inflation is already impacting the middle class. Now, I'm talking the middle class here because that is the most predominant class in this country. You have those that are less fortunate than the middle class, but you know what? They're getting subsidies and they're getting payments from the government. So push them aside. You've got the wealthy, which could care less how much shit costs because they can afford it and they can absorb the increase. Let's push them aside. Let's look at everybody else. You, me, him, them, our neighbors, everybody in the middle class. The majority of this country is middle class. We are going to be decimated. My wife and I, we bought a hot tub last year because it was great for my wife. It makes her feel better. And I'll be honest with you, it helps me with my aches and pains because I'm getting up there. But we wanted to build a pergola last year and we decided against it. But we went out and priced everything out. We went out this year because we wanted to build it this year. And we said, hell no. Because it was over $1,000 more to build a pergola over a hot tub. I don't understand how people that voted for Biden are still supporting this guy. Every policy he puts out is doing nothing but decimating us. We have inflation. Okay, let's get a real world example here. In my town, we have a restaurant, and even where I work, we have a restaurant. My boss goes there every Tuesday. Every Tuesday is wing night. Half off wings. Great deal with great wings. And where I live, there's a bar slash restaurant just down the road where they do the same thing. And both of them said, we got to discontinue this because we don't have enough chicken wings. There is a chicken shortage in this country. Now, I don't live in a big city, but I don't live out in the country. I live in a suburban neighborhood. And I'm going to tell you, there's chickens everywhere. But yet we have a chicken shortage to the point that people in restaurants can't get chicken wings. I took my wife out for her birthday last week, and half of the menu was X'd off. You couldn't get it. We can't get it. Where is this shortage coming from? I am a firm believer that the shortage comes from there's nobody that's willing to work. Everybody's making so much money off of unemployment that they don't want to work. Why should I work? There's a big difference between the red states, the Republican states, and the blue states, the Democrat states. Montana, I believe it was North or South Dakota, Florida, has said, you're done. If you are on unemployment, you're done with it, go get a job. March's job figures, the month of March, the job figures, the analysts, and again, end quotes, were predicting 1 million jobs created. If you were looking, you found out that there were only 266,000 jobs created in March throughout the whole country. That's insane. 266,000 jobs were filled in the month of March in this entire country. I would think that would be low in my state, Michigan, let alone the entire country. And the Biden administration is saying, well, it's because a lot of women left the workforce to go back home and look after their kids. Why? The schools are opening left and right. The daycares are opening left and right. The real reason that the media and the administration doesn't want to tell you is because all of these blue states are giving their citizens, hey, here's $300 a week more. Stay home. Stay on the government dollar. Vote Democrat. That's exactly what they're doing. And it's decimating the economy. We are not getting lumber from Canada for the same reason. Well, that and the fact that Canada won't allow many imports because of coronavirus. Oh my gosh, we can't have coronavirus. But the fact remains, inflation is here. Gas is going up. Prices in the shopping, when you go shopping at the grocery store, are going up tremendously. What does that mean for you? But more importantly, what happens when the grocery stores, and this is coming, I've read numerous reports from many economists that say we are going to have food shortages in this country because we just don't have any workers. And the reason, just to let you know, the reason we have a chicken shortage is there's nobody working in the factory to kill the freaking chickens. We can't mass produce chickens. We can't skin them. We can't tear them up and give them to us. There's nobody there to do it. And that falls into every industry. So we are going to have a food shortage. We have an electronic shortage right now because there's boats just sitting on the port with no dock workers to take care of them. And now it's going to get into a food shortage. And this is where I really want you to listen to this portion of the show. Because for those of us who don't live in the big city, but, you know, we might live on the outskirts or just, you know, 10, 20, 30 miles away. They're coming. These city folk who can't get food, can't get anything because there's nothing in their city, are going to venture out. Now, me, I live in Owosso. I know a lot of people that live on the outskirts of Lansing, Michigan. You are in the crosshairs. Because when the food is cut off, when the water is cut off, when you can't get what you need to support your family, people resort to very dangerous things. And they are going to gradually encroach on your property, in your area. What are you going to do when you have a group of people outside your home with guns and Molotov cocktails threatening to burn your house down and shoot you until you give them food? You may think that, oh my gosh, Tom, quit being a fearmonger. You don't think it'll happen? Look at this past summer what happened. BLM was out burning buildings, killing people, and there was no food shortage. You don't think this is going to happen? I'm going to tell you right now, this is a very real possibility until or if this administration says, holy shit, I'm making a mess of this thing. And I don't see that happening. The only way we can avoid this is if somehow the Republicans take control of the House and Senate in 2022 and they find a way to stop Biden's executive orders or Kamala Harris, whoever's in office at that time. If not, this is a real possibility. So here's my advice to you, and you need to listen to this. I've done a lot of research on prepping. You need absolutely a bug out place. Somewhere where you can go that's off the radar, off the map, off the grid, until everything smooths out and everything's calm again. If you don't have one, barricade your house. You need
food. You need water. You need sustenance. You need something to barter with. If you live in, like I do, in a neighborhood, you need to get with your neighbors and essentially fortify your neighborhood and make it into Fort Knox. Nobody comes in or goes out without anybody's knowledge. I get it. I understand how this sounds. This sounds like Red Dawn. I get that. But this is the reality. Stock up. Stock up with food. Stock up with water. In food, I mean non-perishable. You got to buy canned food. Something that will last a while. Because, honestly, we could be in this for 4 years and even longer. We are literally the first, well, beyond the first step of Venezuela. You need to have some sort of protection for your family. And honestly, if you can have a safe room in your home, if you have one already, make sure it's stocked and everything. If not, make one. You need a safe room. Because people, when they are starving, when they're hungry, when they're dehydrated, when they don't have any food or money or anything to provide for their family, they will do crazy things. And that means they will break into your house or burn your house down in order to get your food. Lock up your food. Lock up your water. I'm not kidding on this. I've had a couple of shows in the past about what happens when the shit hits the fan. The shit is about ready to hit the fan. It's been 4 months of a Biden presidency, and look at where we are. Food, water, protection. You need protection. If you live in a neighborhood, or even if you don't, if you have neighbors, you need to talk to them. You need to build a coalition with your neighbors. I read a book, and actually I read it multiple times. It's called The Jakarta Pandemic, A Modern Pandemic Thriller. It's by Stephen Conkley. It's about a virus that decimates the human population. And there's one man in his neighborhood that fights to keep his family alive, keep them quarantined, keep them away from the virus. It is a great book. It talks about how you need to map out your neighborhood, know who's for you and who's against you, who you need to look at and who you can count on. These are all great points. Look at your neighbors. Who do you think you can count on? And who do you think would leave you stranded and leave you to die? Or maybe who would come into your house or break into your house and steal your food and kill your family? This is not something I take lightly. In situations like this, my ears are perked up because things are going to happen. Shit's going to go down. The shit is going to hit the fan. We are 4 months into a 4-year presidency minimum. This is Venezuela. Go look at the timeline of Venezuela after Maduro died. It just went to hell in a handbasket. This is where we are going. You need to have ammunition. You need to have protection. You need to have a safe room in case all of that goes down. And listen, if the summer of 2020 has shown you anything, these protesters and these people that are desperate will do anything. And that means burning your house down and you in it. Protect yourself. It's coming. Prices are going to continue to go up. There's going to be food shortages. You need to protect you and your family. Now, I know I have a lot of preppers that listen to this show. And I have a plea and a call out to these preppers. Please contact me at 989-607-4722. Contact me at that number and leave a message on what your best practices to prepare for something like this are, so my listeners know, so they can be prepared.
We are in dangerous times. A lot of people don't realize how dangerous the times we are, but I've watched the timeline. I've watched what happened in Venezuela. The most recent case of a country that was very prosperous going into socialism. We are mirroring that, where the people have no food, they have no gas, they have no power, they're eating pets for lunch, for sustenance. We're on our way there because our politicians, who think they know best, all they know of is, how do I get more power? That's what they think of. They're not thinking of us. They're thinking of themselves. And it's time we rise up and rebel against that. But it's going to take an army. And before that, it's going to take sacrifice. We are going to go through hell. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going through hell. Prices left and right are going to skyrocket. Gas is going to skyrocket. Who knows how bad it's going to be? But it's going to be bad. So if you have any ideas, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Or contact me at 989-607-4722 and leave me a message on what your best practices are for this type of scenario. When you've got a mob of people outside of your house with guns and Molotov cocktails, what do you do? How do you prevent that? Let me know. Ghostseeker4@charter.net, 989-607-4722. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be back next week. Contact me and give me those best practices for our listeners. You're running fast through your head, cause you've been around, babe. You've been around for a while. I'm trying to wake myself, cause I know that you're her, the girl with